From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Minister Sri Mulyani urges ASEAN to prepare for external challenges. Chairperson of the Indonesian Football Association, Erick Thohir, vows to work hard to avoid FIFA sanctions. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati has urged countries in ASEAN to remain wary of and be prepared to confront several external challenges that could cause turbulence in the regional economy. She said ASEAN countries have to continue to update their policies for confronting this dynamic situation. Speaking during the opening of the first ASEAN Finance Ministers and Central Bank Governors Meeting 2023 on Friday, as quoted by Antara, she also said that she expects that ASEAN will not be satisfied with the regional economic growth, which is expected to be high this year. According to the Indonesian Finance Minister, ASEAN is also expected to actively protect and support the current situation to allow countries in the region in a bid to do their best to conduct economic reforms and to ensure sustainability. Chairperson of the Indonesian Football Association, Erick Thohir, remains resolute to renegotiate with the International Football Federation, FIFA, to avoid sanctions following its decision to remove Indonesia as the host of the 2023 U20 World Cup. This was conveyed by Minister Thohir at the President's office in Jakarta on Friday, March the 31st, after being received by President Joko Widodo. However, Thohir admitted that FIFA's letter that was addressed to Indonesia implied and indicated that the highest ruling authority in football was currently considering to impose sanctions on Indonesia. Erick Thohir said he will conduct the negotiation after he receives the expected invitation from FIFA after it holds a FIFA Council meeting in the next few days. The Indonesian Ministry of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration has stated that most of the indicators for the Sustainable Development Goals in Indonesia have been met. Significant progress has been achieved on goals number 6 and 11 regarding access to water and sanitation, hand washing facilities, safe public transportation, water resources, and green open spaces. The Ministry Head of the Development and Information Agency, Ivanovic Agusta, pointed this out on Friday, March the 31st, as quoted by Antara. He further said at the 10th Asia-Pacific Forum for Sustainable Development in Bangkok, Thailand, from March the 27th until 30th, that Indonesia's SDGs or Sustainable Development Goals achievements had also increased in the 7th, 9th and 17th goals, especially on energy efficiency, sustainable industry, reducing carbon emissions, export of high-tech industrial products, and data availability. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Governor of Bank Indonesia, Perry Warjio, hopes that ASEAN will take advantage of the global agenda of cross-border payments. As quoted by Antara, he said at the opening of the first meeting of ASEAN Finance Minister and Central Bank Governors on Friday, March the 31st, that the agenda is ASEAN's legacy, not only for ASEAN but also for the world. He also pointed out that ASEAN has benefited from the cross-border payment system, which is faster, cheaper, more transparent, and more inclusive. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris landed in Zambia on Friday, the final stop on her week-long tour of the continent. While there, she discussed debt restructuring with the nation's president and announced a range of private sector commitments worth more than $7 billion U.S. dollars aimed at supporting climate resilience, adaptation, and mitigation. The UN said on Friday it had so far raised a quarter of the money it needs for relief work in Turkey after the earthquake that killed more than 55,000 people. As reported by ArabNews.com, on April the 1st, donors have so far contributed $268 million to the $1 billion flash appeal issued by the UN following the 7.8 magnitude quake on February the 6th and its aftershocks that devastated swaths of southeast Turkey and parts of the war-torn Syria. The UN humanitarian agency spokesman Jens Lerke told reporters in Geneva that the initial emergency phase. Vietnam resolutely opposes and demands that Chinese Taiwan cancel live fire drills taking place in the waters around Ba Binh or Itu Aba, which belongs to Vietnam's Truong Sa or Spratly. Pham Thu Hang, vice spokesperson of the Vietnamese Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Friday, as reported by VOVWorld.vn, said Vietnam has repeatedly affirmed that the exercise seriously violates the country's territorial sovereignty over Truong Sa, threaten peace, stability, safety, and security of navigations, and complicate the situation in the East Sea. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
The first news comes from Jombang, East Java. Caretaker of the La Raiba Hanifida Islamic Boarding School for Girls in Jombang, East Java, Hoirul Idawati, said Thursday that she plans to build a Quran museum displaying paintings inscribed with holy verses of the Quran. This inspiration came from her visits to a number of countries. In addition to inscribed with the holy verses of the Quran, there will be also some pictures so that visitors can learn and understand the meaning contained in the letter. This project has been running for about 5 years and now has made up about half of the holy book of the Quran. Everything is painted with calligraphy. The painting is made contemporary with a three-dimensional shape. Each verse is detailed with illustrations. She said that each painting also always goes through a process of checking by an expert to ensure its correctness. The construction of the museum cost more than 3 billion rupiahs. The next news comes from Bantul, Yogyakarta. The Cultural Office of Bantul Regency Special Region of Yogyakarta facilitates the performance of community art from this regional art group in various places and is not concentrated in facilities owned by the local government alone. Head of the Bantul Culture Office, Nugroho Eko Setianto, said in Bantul on Wednesday that currently art and cultural performances from art groups in the community have returned after being limited due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, art performances still pay attention to the health side. Furthermore, Nugroho said that currently there are 1,025 registered art groups in Bantul Regency. The last news comes from Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara. The Tourism Office of the City of Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara Province, is preparing the Lebaran Topat Day, which is celebrated a week after Idul Fitri and will involve tourists who are currently in the city. Secretary of the Mataram City Tourism Office, Lenny Octavia, said in Mataram on Wednesday that the Topat Eid or Lebaran Topat celebration is part of the tourism calendar for the city of Mataram, which featured various local artistic attractions. Lenny said that the Topat Idul Fitri celebration would be held at two graveyards location that were sacred to residents, namely the Loang Balok Cemetery, Sekarbela District, and the Bintaro Cemetery, Ampenan District. The activities carried out start from grave pilgrimages, remembrance and prayer, selaran, ngurisan or shaving the baby's hair, and closing with a meal with ketupat dishes and various local specialties which are the hallmark of the Topat Idul Fitri celebration. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on April 1, 1914, when Malang City in East Java, Indonesia was founded. Malang City is located in the province of East Java, Indonesia. The city is the second largest one in East Java after Surabaya. Malang was founded by the Dutch government on April 1, 1914 with E.K. Broekveld as the first mayor. Malang City is located in a highland area of about 145 square kilometers, which is an enclave of Malang Regency. It is also known as a city of education. There are some best universities such as Brawijaya University, Malang State University, UIN Maulana Malik Ibrahim Malang, and Malang State Polytechnic. Let's move to an event on 1963 when Jambi State University was established. Jambi State University in Sumatra Island, Indonesia was officially inaugurated through the decree of the Minister of Higher Education and Science No. 25/1963 on March 23, 1963. The preparatory committee for the establishment of Jambi State University opened two new faculties, namely the Faculty of Agriculture and the Faculty of Animal Husbandry, so that when it was inaugurated April 1, 1963, Jambi State University has four faculties, namely the Faculty of Economics, Faculty of Law, Faculty of Agriculture, and the Faculty of Animal Husbandry. Since then, April 1st has been made the date of the Jambi University anniversary. We end today in history with the event on April 1st, 1979, when Iran officially became the Islamic Republic. Iran officially became the Islamic Republic on April 1, 1979 based on the results of a national referendum of the majority of the Iranian nation. This revolution was unique because it shocked the whole world. Unlike various revolutions in the world, the Iranian one was not caused by defeat in war, monetary crisis, peasant uprisings, or military discontent. The revolution produced enormous changes at high speed, defeated a regime, even though the regime was protected by the armed forces and replaced the ancient forces, as to say the ancient monarchy, with theocratic teachings based on the guardianship of the Islamic jurists. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on President Joko Widodo expects international cooperation to increase South Sulawesi's economy. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed the cooperation that has been agreed by companies in East Luwu Regency with a number of countries, namely Brazil, China, and the United States. The head of state hopes that this cooperation will contribute to improving people's welfare in South Sulawesi province. In his remarks when inaugurating the Savri Gading Wallace Biodiversity Park at Piti Valley, Indonesia, East Luwu Regency, South Sulawesi on Thursday, March the 30th, he expressed hope that this cooperation would contribute to non-tax state revenue in the province and districts so it would have a welfare effect on the people. The president said that foreign companies which joined in the cooperation consisted of the world's giant companies. He hopes that this cooperation can improve the economy in the country, especially in South Sulawesi. He also hopes that the economic effect on the province and the country will provide better economic growth. The head of state then explained the reason these companies were interested in investing in Indonesia. One of them is because Indonesia has the largest nickel reserves in the world. Therefore, President Joko Widodo reiterated that the government does not want the export of raw nickel to continue. Nickel must be processed into semi-finished or finished goods before being exported. That was My Indonesia Today.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Selendang Mayang Eyes from Jakarta. Selendang Mayang Eyes is a traditional cuisine of Jakarta that is still in great demand nowadays. The sweet and fresh flavor of this cuisine makes it often served on various occasions such as Eid al-Fitr and the month of Ramadan, as it is often hunted as an iftar menu. The selendang mayang eyes has a similar feeling to pudding or layer cake made from sago palm flour. The layers of selendang mayang eyes consist of white, red, and green colors. The seller always cuts the cake, which is usually placed on the tray with a square elongated shape and slightly thin size that is approximately 2 fingers long. Then it is served in a bowl and poured with a sweetener made of brown sugar or syrup, coconut milk, as well as pieces of ice cubes. The name Selendang Mayang Eyes is derived from the Betawi folklore Si Jampang Mayang Sari that emerged in early 1900s. In this story, Mayang Sari is a personal character who is popular for her charming beauty. Therefore, if you take into account, the drink has beautiful colors as if it would radiate the beauty of Mayang Sari. Meanwhile, the name Selendang comes from its wide and gentle shape when it is shaken like a dancer's scarf. The striking and fairly unique red, white, and green colors are the hallmark of Selendang Mayang. The colors arouse our appetite to enjoy this cuisine. Listeners, Selendang Mayang Ice needs ingredients such as sago palm flour, rice flour, pandan leaves, salt, granulated sugar, brown sugar, red and green food coloring, as well as coconut milk to make it. This dish is sold in a basket and it is worth 10,000 rupiah per cup. Although this traditional Jakarta cuisine is getting rare, it can still be found in several places such as Petak Sembilan, Palmerah, Setu Babakan Village, Condet Village, The Old City, and many other places. The combination of its sweetness and coldness will be a complimentary thirst quencher, especially after fasting for a day. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kembali terjadi, kau mainkan hati untuk kesekian kali. Kau ingkar akan janji, kau ubah segala cerita yang ada, terbayang di asa yang kau bilang selamat. Bila nanti ku pergi, jangan kau
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, today's miscellany brings good news from Indonesia, which was awarded 4 main awards at the Japan World Tourism Film Festival at the Izukane Shrine, Japan, recently. On this occasion, Indonesia, through the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Industry, sent 2 tourism films entitled Jiwa Jagat Jawi and Authentic Itu Perlu Waktu. Both films won the Golden Prize for Tourism Country and Asian Competition. Even the tourism film Jiwa Jagat Jawi won the highest award, namely Grand Prix. Meanwhile, Authentic Itu Perlu Waktu won the Silver Prize for Tourism Products. Indonesia's victory in the Japan World Tourism Film Festival international event is certainly good news for tourism in Indonesia. The government, represented by the Indonesian Consul General in Osaka, Diana Emilia Sari Sutikno, in her statement recently said, winning this award was an important moment for the revival of Indonesian tourism after 3 years affected by the pandemic. Japan World Tourism Film Festival is an annual event held by Wakayama University and the International Committee for Tourism Film Festival. The competition in this international film festival is divided into 3 main categories, namely Japan Competition, International Competition, and Grand Prix. In the meantime, President of the International Committee for the Tourism Film Festival, Alexander V. Kamel, said the number of categories won showed that Indonesian tourism films were worthy of competing in other festivals under the Committee for the Tourism Film Festival network this year. The festival every year determines the world's best tourism promotion films in thematic categories. There are 1,286 films that were contested this year from 105 countries and various regions in Japan. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Karena Wanita Ingin Dimengerti by Keroncong Nation. The pop song Karena Wanita Ingin Dimengerti was popularized by Ada Band in 2006. The song was composed by Doni Sibarani and Krishna Balagita. The song tells about respect and awe for women in the world. The woman in the song is a figure full of tenderness and charm, like a shining star in the sky. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Karena Wanita Ingin Dimengerti by Keroncong Nation. Enjoy!
Kau miliki
Voice of Indonesia.
Malam kehadiran cinta, sambut jiwa baru. Telah lama ku tunggu hadirmu di sini. Namun hanya ruang semu yang nampak padaku. Meski sulit harus ku dapatkan kerinduan yang mendalam terbitkan hasratku. Sambutlah tangan ini, terima janjiku. Rasakan cinta yang tulus lewat tali rendaraku. Menyatu seiring dalam kasih.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.